97.9 The Heel, Aaron Keck here with you in the studio, joined this morning by Victor Lewis, who is going to catch us up, presumably, on what's trending out there in the world. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to do my best.
Good.
Today we're going to talk about wasabi for a little while, because I think this is going to be a fun little topic. How long had you been casually consuming sushi when you learned that you had not had real wasabi before?
Maybe a month. I can pinpoint it. Winter of 2000, I was in Washington, D.C.
It was a Tuesday.
I can't pinpoint it that much, but winter of 2000, I was in D.C. doing an internship, and that was the first place and time that I ever had sushi. I was 21.
Yeah, we've had conversations along these lines. The Indian restaurant conversation comes to mind specifically.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have Indian until I was in grad school. I was also 21. That was pretty much the same year.
Who knew Pittsburgh was such a cosmopolitan part of the United States?
But Pittsburgh? No.
I mean, yeah, that's where I'm from.
I
definitely had sushi and Indian food before you did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. More so, definitely more
fun
so than
Victor Lore. I'm from Pittsburgh, just in case.
More so than Lansing, Michigan, as it turned out. But no, I was 20 when I had sushi for the first time, and like a month later, someone was like, oh yeah, try the green stuff. It's delicious. I'm like, I've seen Beauty and the Beast. That went poorly for about 10 seconds.
I mean,
now I like wasabi.
Well, same, but there is a difference between real wasabi and green dyed horseradish concoctions.
Yeah, this is all grocery store sushi, by the way, in Washington, D.C. Just so we're clear, I did not have like legit sushi until later.
So I definitely would have been the sort of person who was like, oh, I actually am really into sushi. Blah, 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 blah. And I in fact, knew nothing because I did not know that I had never had real wasabi before until I had real wasabi for the first time. And real wasabi is something that is seeing a significant spike in demand. I say spike. That's not correct. An increase. The increase is slow and steady because all of the production of real wasabi is something that takes a long time, and we are seeing a significant decline in the demand for fake wasabi while the demand for real wasabi increases.
Okay.
I imagine because of folks like me that are just like, well, why wouldn't I want the real thing? And then also folks like me that don't understand why the real thing is not available in the quantities we would like it to be available. And the answer for that is because wasabi requires very clean water, a specific type of environment, cannot endure direct sunlight. It is a hard crop to grow. It is sought after for a reason. We had a fake wasabi industry for a reason. And I just think that it's kind of cool that we're not necessarily trying to find new ways to make better fake wasabi. We are just sort of struggling to grow this crop that is already hard to grow.
I suppose I am still enough of a sushi noob that I don't know if I've ever had real wasabi or what the difference would be if they were put side by side.
You can definitely taste the difference when they are put side by side. Not to say that regular old horseradish still doesn't do the job you want it to do.
Right.
But also, I feel like folks kind of probably either over or under indulge in how much wasabi, fake or otherwise, they are putting on their sushi. But as with all things, I am not here to tell you about how best to go about your subjective experience. If you want to put a teaspoon of horseradish on your sushi, go for it, my man. This is an entirely customized experience for you.
I put just enough wasabi in my little drip of soy sauce to change the color of the soy sauce, and then I'm happy.
Yeah, which is like the American way to do it. You like mix it all up in your little soy sauce, then use that as a dipping sauce. Americans really love dipping things in other things. I think I'm going to add that to my list of things that I like to talk about. No, because I've talked to
That's
you.
That's true.
Yeah, because
I, as an American, do like dipping things in other things, so you're not wrong.
I mean, I now have two things in this very specific list about how foreigners can spot Americans quickly and easily. The two I have so far is we lean on stuff. Other cultures don't do that. We lean on walls, chairs, tables. If it's around and we can lean on it, we will lean on it. And other cultures don't do that. It's kind of rude. It's kind of frowned upon. And card shuffling. Apparently, most European countries know Americans as just like, oh, you are just born knowing how to shuffle cards.
Yeah.
The skill of card shuffling seems to be something that Americans acquire differently, faster, and better than everybody else, is fascinating. I wonder why. I'm not a card shark. I don't play poker every day, but I can definitely shuffle cards.
I mean, my mom taught me how to shuffle cards. Like this is
that's what you were doing growing up in Lansing,
American
Michigan.
Tradition. We don't eat sushi. We learn how to card shark. We learn valuable, useful, marketable skills, Victor.
Things to make a living. Things to feed a family. Put food on the table.
Working class family that don't have time for no sushi nonsense.
Yeah, as long as you live in Tombstone, Arizona. Where's Tombstone set? Do you know? I'm going to Google that.
Tombstone is Arizona.
Okay, cool. Nice.